going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
He puts on that Browns helmet. He's a member of the Browns.
Bingo.
And I don't care where he played college football. And if you're hung up on that, man, you need to get a life. You really do. Because you're going to love him if he helps the Browns do something. So get over it. We're going to talk more about that. Also, some of the coverage of last night. I got a network. I don't know if I can watch him again. I'm just blown away. Great analyst and a host that, was nails on a chalkboard. So... He's Jeff Phelps. I'm Andy Baskin.
I disagree with you on that, but that's okay.
Well, we haven't even said a name yet.
You didn't have to.
You can wait till 12:40, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. I want to know what you think, and we're also asking you this question. Did the Browns do the right thing last night? I mean, really? Are you okay with it? Are you happy with it? So I'm going to ask you this. Did you love it? Did you hate it? Or are you saying to yourself, let's see. See what they do tonight. 33-36 tonight. 33-36 in the second round. So right out of the gate, boom, we're going to see what the Browns are thinking. I got to tell you, Jeff, you said it before, too. If they draft a quarterback with either one of those picks, I'm wondering what they did yesterday.
It makes you think a little bit. Andy, there are teams in the NFL that have more than one good quarterback. And if you develop quarterback, you can always trade quarterback for something else. And that's why I think that, especially Jalen Milroe, to me, is the guy that if by chance they take a quarterback tonight, I would think it's because a guy like Milroe falls and maybe is there in the third round. You know, if they took Shedeur Sanders tonight, it would really make you think, well, do they think he's the right guy? Or are they trying to get that, quarterback next year? I don't like kicking it down the road because you never know. And you could play Flacco and Pickett this year and go win some games. I
don't think they bet against themselves this year by picking up another pick, by picking up next year's first round pick.
Yeah, I don't think they did either.
I think they gave themselves an excellent opportunity to grab the best quarterback next year.
And to me, it screams that we didn't think, and they might be wrong, they didn't think Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter was going to be this absolute beast superstar player. And they think that Mason Graham can be just as much of a contributor to them as those guys could have been. And they better be right about that. You can't pass up huge, huge, huge talent.
216-474-0092. 216-474-0092. Cool Ray in Bedford. Hi, Cool Ray.
Hey, what's up, man?
How are you?
I'm $500 richer thanks to the Browns.
Well, you said that yesterday. You said they'll make you some money. So they did, I guess.
I told you they'll screw this up. So to answer your question, I hate it, but I think a superlative needs to be put in front of that word.
Go ahead.
Strongly. Listen, man, I knew the Browns was going to screw this up. I just didn't know how bad. Like, really? Okay, you traded down.
Wait, did Mason Graham have a bad game last night? I'm still trying. Okay, keep going. Yep, keep going.
No, you didn't even get the best player in the draft. And then,
well, you had the number five pick. I would hope that you wouldn't have the best player in the draft.
The best player available.
Okay.
Okay, so yes, you got a DT. Can y'all tell me how many teams in the NFL actually runs right up the gut now? Isn't this more zone blocking and zone running schemes? Like, real?
Corey, you need to come in on Tuesdays, because Jeff and I normally, like most people, leave work right after they're done doing their show. Jeff and I sit here till 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock at night, and all we do is break down film. Because we were sitting there the other day, and we're just doing percentages of how often people run right up the middle. And I actually don't have an answer for you. Jeff, do you have an answer for him?
I missed that one, Cool Ring.
Why don't you come into one of our film sessions?
I do know the Philadelphia Eagles enjoyed their parade an awful lot. And, man, they load up on defensive linemen.
Yeah, but you know what? They also have a great coach and a great organization. So we have to really look at that. But here it is. Mm-hmm. The Browns blew this. And I'm going to tell you, when they traded down, I was like, ooh, I got more money coming, because I know but then I said, this, when they made the pick, I said, this is an organization and a GM that's scared. Like, this is, he's not going to sell jerseys. Ain't nobody running to the store to buy no, whatever his last name is.
Manning jersey, you're right. No one's buying a Drew Aller jersey yet.
Right, nobody, and then you could, I mean, with all the holes that this team needs, that's where you went. Like, real, I mean, like, let's be honest. Like, we can try, you guys are so good, you can sell this guy to be the greatest player coming out of college. That's how good you guys are. But realistically,
not our job, though.
A DT that needs help putting pressure on a quarterback while in college, that was your number five pick?
And again, as I mentioned earlier, who knows? Maybe that was the scheme that he was playing in at Michigan. Maybe that's what they wanted him to do. We will see. Look, you can't go wrong with a guy who was highly thought of by everybody in the draft. And oddly to me, Cool Ray, a lot of every analyst that I've seen talk about this has given the Browns a pretty good grade as far as what they did. Whether or not that pans out, I don't know. It comes down to this to me. You could have had Abdul Carter. You could have had Travis Hunter. You didn't take either one. And it just screams to me, because you didn't think either one was going to be as good as the hype. If you thought either one was going to be as good as the hype, then you have to take them. And we'll see if the Browns are right about that. Mm-hmm. And if Mason Graham is close to as good as Travis Hunter, or close to as good as Abdul Carter, and you pick up Travion Henderson tonight, Andy.
Okay.
And he becomes a perennial 1,000-yard rusher for you. Mm-hmm. And next year, you get a number one pick that might be 15 and above, and you get whatever you get out of that. Well, this is clearly a trade that you have to wait and see, because it depends on so many moving parts. Hunter, Carter, they better be phenomenal. If they're phenomenal, the Browns screwed up. If they're not, the Browns didn't. And is Graham really good? Is whoever they pick up with the second-round pick tonight really good? Well, what do they do with the number one next year?
All right, I can customize my Drew Aller jersey for the Browns. And so they have to take the word dad off, and they'd have to put Aller in there. $129. Hey, if you spend more than $49, it ships for free.
If they draft Milrow, and he sits there and develops, if they draft Shuck, if they draft Shedeur Sanders, you'll need a quarterback next year. Maybe. Maybe.
I got to wonder what they were doing last night. If they take a quarterback at 33 or 36 tonight, I'm going to wonder what. And again, the other part of it was,
except for one thing.
Well, it's your one thing, not mine. I'm just telling you. Listen, my friend. Listen. I wonder what they were doing yesterday if they draft a quarterback at 33 or 36. And then I'll also wonder if it was a total rebuild. Then why didn't they trade Myles Garrett? Those are the two things. Now, what's your one thing? Tell me your one thing.
If you happen to draft a young quarterback tonight, second or third round, and he becomes, even if he doesn't get on the field this year, mm-hmm. if you think he's going to be really good, you might not need to draft a quarterback next year. You also might not be in a position to draft a quarterback next year.
Well, you sound like Andrew Berry did last night. Like, that's what I thought. Because Andrew didn't close the door on that premise that you just had. He kind of talked about that.
Meaning,
look, they're not guaranteeing that they're going to use that number one pick that they picked up last night on a quarterback next year.
Well, you can't guarantee that.
Right.
You know, and Arch Manning doesn't even have to come out next year.
That's why I'm buying a Drew Aller jersey. I just told you how much it was.
Is Drew going to be better? I mean, like, you know, we'd love to Medina County kids. That'd be great. Is he going to be better than Jalen Milroe? I don't know.
Anthony is in Akron. Hi, Anthony.
Anthony?
Hey, what's up, guys? I love you guys.
Thanks, man. Love it, hate it, or let's see.
I love it, man. Cause I'm a big O-line, D-line guy. I played both throughout high school, college. I'm a big tape guy, like you guys were just saying. Look, the one thing someone mentioned 10, 15 minutes ago about D-linemen disappearing. Look, Mason Graham is not one of those guys. All right, if you're an OSU guy, you've seen that guy whip our butt the past few years.
Amen.
This guy is strong. He's flexible. He gets off the ball quick. He's got that wrestling background, so he knows how to use his leverage. I love his initial first contact. You just see him get off the ball and just rock a lineman. You see their helmet snap back a little
bit. Does he think he has Gator arms? Jeff was bringing that up.
Gator arms?
Small arms.
No, I mean, you know, sometimes I think when you're talking about an interior D lineman, having the shorter arms is okay because you're dealing with guards and centers a lot who also don't have the longest arms. You really just want a lot of leverage in those positions. You want a guy that can stay low. You want a guy that can command a double team, which is exactly what he does. I think that's why his pick works so well is because, look, people want to talk about sacks and all this. The guy's a D tackle. D tackles aren't getting that many sacks. Aaron Donald's a Hall of Famer, right? So, mm-hmm. You know, you just can't, like, we can't compare everyone to Aaron Donald. But what this guy is going to do is he's going to demand more offensive linemen blocking him. So that's going to free up Garrett. And now we have the recently exonerated Mike Hall as well. Hopefully he can get something going this year. But also what this does, too, is we secured that Jaguars first-round pick next year. And, you know, let's be honest here, I think we're looking at next year's situation where we both might be in the top five again, to be honest. So now we kind of have two top five picks. I don't think this is the draft to fix all these issues. You know, a lot of people that are disappointed in this, I think they came in to this draft thinking we're gonna fix our QB, we're gonna fix our offense. This just simply wasn't the draft to do that. This just isn't it. I think that next year we have a lot better potential for offensive weapons. But if I'm looking at the best available here that's still left, I mean, I think you got 5-6 guys on if our philosophy is just best overall, you got 5-6
here we
guys
go. Yep.
Still
yep.
on defense.
All right, Anthony, hey, we got to roll. I'm sorry. We got to go up against our good phone call, though. We appreciate you. Thank you, Anthony and Akron.
Thanks, Anthony.
Checking in, 216-474-0092. When we come back, we'll talk to Eric Edom, NFL.com draft analyst.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
And then they ended up with Mason Graham. And, you know, a lot to talk about. The phone lines are packed, so hang tight. I have one line open at 216-474-0092. But I want to get some expert analysis, and a guy that we trust because we read him at NFL.com all the time is Eric Edom. And he is on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Eric, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Hi, Eric.
Afterquake or whatever we call it.
It's exactly what it is. It's really mixed. Like, we're doing a poll this morning, love it, hate it, or let's see on the Browns. I'm actually surprised that all the fans here that are saying let's see, that it's not as polarizing as it may have been. Tell me, what did you think of what the Browns did last night?
Strong value, right?
Yeah.
I mean, just on paper, like, you just look at it and say that's a pretty good trade. Now the question is whether Travis Hunter will turn out to be the unicorn that some people think he might be. You know, and how high is the ceiling, or you know, vis-a-vis how high is the floor with Mason Graham too, and also, you know, there's a multi-dimensionality to it. You got to look at who they pick tonight and how that all works out, because it all parlays into the deal and everything. But you know, I would normally say, well, you know, you don't trade up for a corner or a wide receiver that high in the draft, and you know, hasn't typically. I mean, wide receiver, I could see a corner. You know, that's less so. But when you have two players in one, that's where the debate makes a hard left turn. And look, maybe he is this generational talent who can do something that really few players have even attempted. Playing both sides of the ball. I suspect it's going to be, you know, heavier on one side than the other. But, you know, if you have a player who's that unusual, it does give you a pause at the end and say, did we just let something potentially really special slip through our fingers? But again, just from a 30,000-foot view, I understand what they did, especially given where the Watson deal put them. It put them at a disadvantage, and they're trying to make up for it.
Eric, I thought in your mock draft you nailed it. You said, I wouldn't say Hunter is completely bust-proof. And, you know, my thought was, if he were just a wide receiver, would he go at 2? If he were just a corner, would he go at 2? And if you're going to take him at 2 based on the idea of playing both, well, that's something nobody's ever done in the modern NFL. And so I thought it was a gamble for anybody to take him at 2, but not necessarily a huge one. But, man, trading what Jacksonville traded to get him, I think, is a big gamble on their part.
It is. For a 34-year-old general manager who's been on the job, 3.5 months? And, again, it could turn out to be a brilliant stroke. It may end up being one of the boldest moves ever by a first-year GM in his first draft. And I can't think of any others off the top of my head. I wish I had more time to, like, really drill down and research. But, yeah, I mean, I think the feeling in the last week or so had been, okay, Graham to Jacksonville is not as big a thing as everybody's making it. They want an offensive playmaker. I assume that was Ashton Jeanty. You know, they wouldn't say specifically Teroy McMillan was floated there, other guys, Tyler Warren, but, you know, I didn't think it was necessarily realistic for them to actually move up because, frankly, until probably, I don't know, Wednesday night, we hadn't really heard much about this specific trade. So just fascinating. And that's, you know, it got us off to a roaring start last night. And, you know, we had the Giants trade later in round one. So we did have some interesting stuff that happened last night. But those first two picks, I think, will be debated and discussed for a long time because of the way they happen.
What did you think of Jacksonville giving up? I Jeff and I were sitting around. We were wondering what it was going to take for the Browns to want to come back, if they were going to take it. And then when Jacksonville offered the number one and, you know, the high number two tonight, it seemed like it was kind of a no-brainer to move back two picks. If you thought Mason Graham was your guy in the first place, it really was a no-brainer.
How do you not do it, right? I hesitate to say that because it's like I still think Hunter was one of the two guys in this draft, along with Abdul Carter, who I felt best about succeeding in the NFL. Like, if I had to put my money where my mouth was on two guys, those are the ones. But at the same time, you know, I think Mason Graham's a really good football player. And I'd heard the Browns had done a lot of work on him. I think they had him in for a visit.
They did.
You know, multiple times throughout. So, you know, I kept hearing that name connected to Cleveland midway through the process. But again, once the draft started shaping up, I stopped considering him there because of who I thought they were going to take. But yeah, you know, first-year head coach in Jacksonville, a team that still has a lot of holes to fill. And, yeah, Hunter's special. Trevor Lawrence may be better than what we saw last year and a half. You know, they have some other talent on defense. But, man, I don't think they're going to be a great football team next year. I could be wrong, but even in that division, I have my doubts. So that pick could end up being really valuable. And at the very least, it was a strong trade, or at least a very solid one.
Eric Edholm joining us from NFL.com. Eric, with that number one pick coming from Jacksonville, you know, we here in Cleveland immediately think, oh, quarterback, you're going quarterback next year in 2026. Do you think that's part of why this deal was made, or do you think the Browns tonight, with two picks in the second round and Milroe and Shuck and certainly Shedeur Sanders sitting there, could go quarterback tonight?
I had a feeling you might ask that kind of question.
Yeah.
I wondered if you guys were worried about it. Yeah. So I was in charge of the round two, round three mock draft. I think it's going up in any moment now. So I was working on that until the wee hours of the morning. And originally, I just sort of slotted Shedeur to the Browns at 33 and thought, wait a minute, do I really think that's going to happen? And then I sort of sat there and said, I don't know. Maybe there's been some reporting on it in the last couple hours. I haven't really been caught up on that. But I ended up giving him to the Browns in the third round. And with Tyler Shuck and Milroe going before him, who knows? I'll say this. I think there's a big appreciation for Shedeur's toughness. His accuracy has been you know, praised. I think he's got some NFL qualities, but I don't, you know, even though I had him pretty high in my mocks because I really didn't know what the Saints were going to do, and there was a lot of smoke around that right up to the when I turned it in, I thought, okay, maybe we'll put him ninth. I don't know, you know, and I guess I've stopped worrying or caring where he's going to go in the sense that it's really anyone's guess, and I don't think the number of teams – you know, looking for quarterbacks at this point is a big number. And I think a lot of people have shifted to kind of the 2026 mindset. If you take a quarterback after really the second round, it doesn't preclude you from taking one the next year. I mean, you could even go back to back. Jimmy Clausen went in the second round and then Cam Newton went first the next year. So, you know, there's a quick point of no return where you can just say, if this pick doesn't work out, we can still take one next year. That could be Shadur's fate, whether it goes to Cleveland, New Orleans, the Rams, wherever. So I don't know. I really don't know. And I tried to make some texts and calls last night, and I got the sense that there was a lot of confusion and anger in the Sanders camp and the Colorado camp. And maybe they were misled too. Maybe they got people blowing smoke to them about where Shadur might go.
Yeah, I thought when Jaxson Dart got picked last night by the Giants, I was like, oh, man, what are they thinking at the Sanders house right now? And then
right.
I also was like, what a great play by the Giants, because I know you draft Jaxson Dart in the first round, but you really kind of have, and because we've seen it here in Cleveland, you know, when you draft a guy high and then you come back and take a quarterback low, that Abdul Carter kind of protects him from maybe some of that pressure that he might feel. It's still a quarterback spot, so he's going to feel pressure. But I don't, just kind of give me your thoughts on that. On how that whole scenario played out, too. I was when Dart got picked, I was like, "Whoa!"
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I had talked for a few weeks about the possibility of Dart going before Shadur, but I, you know, again, it would have to be like the right order and the right teams involved and stuff. And I didn't know if it was going to happen that way. Daniel Jeremiah mocked it very similarly. I think he had him Dart going a little bit higher in front of Pittsburgh, maybe in a trade up situation. So there were plenty of people who had that Dart to the Giants connection. I think Joe Shane, the GM's kid, may have posted a Jaxson Dart video the night before, so that may have tipped some hands off. But I got the sense that maybe they feared a Cleveland trade-up. I think, you know, given that you look who was picking between 34 and wherever they moved up to, 25 or 6, I forget, but in the only team in that mix, unless I'm forgetting somebody, I think was looking for, like, realistically looking for a quarterback was probably the Browns. So, you know, you could say, hey, maybe that trade up was a little pricey. I felt pretty good about it after I saw what the Falcons paid to trade up for a pass rusher with character concerns. So, you know, it really was probably not that shocking in retrospect, but yeah, like you said, imagine what the Sanders camp thought. Imagine how they're kind of approaching today, not having a great idea of where he fits in.
The other part of that, too, was and there was so much talk around here about Sanders going to Pittsburgh at 21. I mean, I was like, yep. I mean, at one point people were like, well, if the Browns really want him, they may have to trade back up to 20 or 19, as it turns out.
Yeah.
That was true. I what do you think of all the smoke that came out from Pittsburgh or surrounding Pittsburgh about Shadur Sanders?
Well, they must know more about Aaron Rodgers or another quarterback, be it Kirk Cousins, you know, or something. I mean, they must have a little bit more clarity on that situation than the 43-minute spot on McAfee the other day revealed, at least to me anyway. I didn't really get much from it from a what's-he-going-to-do standpoint. But, you know, obviously they either didn't love Shadur enough to take him there or they felt like he was too similar to Kenny Pickett, you know, in terms of, you know, guy who has some moxie, some toughness, can throw an ice ball, has some okay athleticism, but doesn't have a rocket arm, isn't blessed with this super high ceiling. I think they almost felt like we're virtually in the same spot that we took Kenny in a few years ago. Are we going to do the same thing and kind of torture people the same way? I don't mean to say it like that, because I think Kenny's a good kid and I think he's a pretty good quarterback, but you understand, like, they just sort of viewed him as a low ceiling kind of quarterback after a couple of years. And I wonder if that's not sort of the fear with Shadur too, that, yeah, he's solid. I think he's going to do some, you know, he's not going to embarrass himself in the NFL, but can he ever really take us to the promised land? And maybe that's just my guess on how they looked at it.
Eric Edholm joining us from NFL.com. And we're sitting here in Cleveland thinking, okay, you went defense with the pick and you passed up, you know, maybe a big-time offensive talent, maybe two, in Ashton Gentry as well. And so we're assuming, okay, they're two second-round picks, they're going offense, two third-round picks, got to be going offense with at least, you know, three of those four picks. However, your buddy Daniel Jeremiah at NFL.com, and his still available, has defensive players up top. And the name Will Johnson, the corner from Michigan, and Mike Green, the edge from Marshall, jump out to me. Could the Browns possibly take another defensive player here with one of these second-round picks?
They could. And with those two players specifically, it's going to depend on, that with Will Johnson, what their medical evaluation was of him, and with Mike Green, what their character evaluation was. You know, if you just watched Green and nothing about his background, you'd say he was probably a top 15 or 20 player in this class. Went down to the Senior Bowl, had a big week. You know, a little on the smaller side, but a guy with a lot of juice as a pass rusher. And even in a deep class of edges, he stood out in a lot of ways. So as the process went on, you know, and there was these allegations at Virginia, also an incident in high school, about basically a sexual assault allegation that he had to pretty vehemently, I would say, downplay at the combine and say that, you know, protest or, you know, stated his innocence on. And, you know, teams have obviously been digging on that for quite a while. These aren't new things. So I'm just wondering if there isn't a little bit of discomfort with some of what they dug up or his answers or what have you. Maybe some other incident came up. I haven't gotten too many specifics on it, but I do know one team in particular that basically said he's a no for us, at least based on where they thought he might be drafted. So Johnson's a trickier case in that, you know, the foot injury has kind of spooked some teams, I think. He's had a lot of little stuff, a lot of little injuries throughout the years. Again, football-wise, I thought he was going to be a top 10 pick in August or whatever. I mean, you know, at some point early in the season, I thought this guy just looks the part, long corner, really smooth. He's kind of a glider. But the long speed questions and the injury concerns really did crop up. So I still think offense is in play for them. You know, Mason Taylor, a really fine young tight end, is on the board. Trevion Henderson, obviously, right down the road, I think would make some sense. Judkins would, too, for that matter. And you'll see a lot of receivers go off the board tonight. So there's still plenty of offensive talent. The O-line talent's thinning a little bit. But the skill positions are I think, going to be well represented. And defense is still, I think, the stronger side of the ball in this draft overall, especially with the D-line class. But, yeah, I'll be fascinated to see how they address that offense with those four picks and how many of them they use on it.
A lot of talk around here about Will Howard, and hopefully that if the Browns are looking for a quarterback, they might want to sneak the guy up from Columbus to Cleveland. Your thoughts on him and the running back situation, where I think Cleveland fans would like to see one of the Ohio State running backs, either it's Henderson or Judkins, preferably, I think, Henderson right now, but... you tell me about that.
All right, so I got good news and bad news. Good news is I put Trevion Henderson in my round two mock draft to the Browns. So
yay!
That's a win.
Okay.
Hey, let's celebrate that now.
Okay.
Got to break it. See, I put Will Howard to the Steelers, so I don't know.
Oh, man.
You just killed him, Eric. You killed him.
10 hours from now, you guys can throw spitballs at me.
Oh, my God. That was like getting drunk and having a hangover all within 5 seconds. Oh, man.
I wish you could do it like that, right? Wouldn't that be nice? Yeah.
In reverse. Now,
I think it's safe to say that Henderson is somebody that they've done work on and would make a lot of sense as a Nick Chubb replacement. I think he does profile as a three down guy. He's not somebody where you say, okay, he's this type and he can only do first and second down, dirty or third. I think he's a fairly complete back. Judkins maybe more of a first and second down guy, kind of a tone setter, power back. I think Dallas would be a great spot for him, but I wouldn't, you know, poo-poo it if he went to the Browns either. They just would have to maybe pair him with somebody. But, yeah, this draft has got a lot of running back talent. I think round four is actually going to produce some pretty good backs like Jarquez Hunter and guys like that, maybe Cam Scataboo. But, you know, just last night when I was doing that exercise, I kept thinking – I should be putting more running backs in here, I think, but there's so many of them. You know, you can kind of wait at that spot, I think. So how those guys come off the board, I'll be kind of curious to see, and how quickly, if at all. But I think Henderson's a real strong opportunity for them.
Eric Edholm joining us, NFL.com. Eric, last thought. There's been rumblings that this could be a night where veterans get traded for picks.
Yeah.
Are there any skill position veterans out there on your radar who would make nice acquisitions for the Browns, either at wide receiver, tight end, or running back?
Yeah, good question. I haven't really heard specific. The last stuff I heard was yesterday afternoon. There was some talk about Jalen Ramsey with somebody I was talking to on the phone, and they thought maybe he would be a possibility maybe tonight. So skill position-wise, you know, unless George Kittle's contract situation has gone completely haywire in San Francisco, I think he's probably staying. I don't know if they're still married to Brandon Ayuk. Remember, they haven't gotten the Brock Purdy deal done yet. I'm just kind of rolling through some players that I may have heard about at some point. I actually can't think of anybody off the top of my head, but yeah, there definitely could be some veterans who are dealt tonight.
Eric, thank you. I've hit refresh like 5 times looking for your new mock draft, so hopefully that'll hit here in a couple.
We're ready.
I'm ready for it. I can't wait to see this thing.
Maybe next commercial break, I think. I don't want to overpromise, but we'll see. Thank
okay.
you, guys.
Thank you, Eric. We appreciate you. And, of course, I'll be reading, and we're refreshing over and over and over on NFL.com to see where your latest mocks is. Yeah, I'm all for it. We got you. We're all about the clicks, baby. And, of course, he was on the North. Eric Edholm, NFL.com, just joined us. If you missed any of it, go to the Odyssey app. Hit the rewind button. You're good to go. You'll be able to listen to it. Daryl Ryder is going to join us coming up in 12 minutes. If you have questions, Daryl will be on the line. So if you have questions for Daryl, you can ask Daryl questions too. Coming up in the noon hour, we're going to do a little roundtable with him. He's going to be with us for 40 minutes. So we'll hang tight with him. John Jansen, Michigan color analyst, is going to tell us all about Mason Graham coming up at 1 o'clock. And so we'll get some insight and some background, maybe some stuff we haven't heard about him yet. And by the way, he's doing a press conference you'll be able to hear a little bit later on in the day after our show.
Should be on during afternoon drive.
Yeah, so make sure you listen to afternoon drive if you want to check that out as well. You listen to what Eric had to say. What'd you think of it?
I think Eric is like everybody else. And I mean that in a good way here. It's this. Wow, you might have passed up this huge talent in Travis Hunter. Might have. But how do you turn that trade down? Seriously, how do you turn that trade down? And that's the reaction of most everybody that I've read, all of the NFL analysts that I've seen. How do you turn that down? Because nobody, I think Andy, is convinced. Well, I shouldn't say that. A lot of folks don't seem to be convinced that Travis Hunter will be able to pull off what it is that seems to make him special. And I mentioned this over the last couple of weeks, and I'm not kidding. Who knows if it comes to pass in the NFL? Go watch video of him at Colorado. I swear to you, he pushes off on 2 out of 3 passes thrown to him. And it wasn't called. And I wonder if it'll get called in the NFL. I wonder if it'll continue. But man, he pushed off all the time and created space for himself. He also made some phenomenal catches. You know, they talk about his ball skills. That's really evident. I mean, you can look and see. I just, wide receivers are so fluky. And you see big-time wide receivers in the draft who don't pan out all the time. I hope for Travis Hunter's sake, he does pan out. And I hope for the Browns' sake, so does Mason Graham and whoever they take it to. You know, maybe it turns into one of those deals that's a win-win. But if Travis Hunter is as good as many people believe he's going to be, you passed up on somebody who maybe you shouldn't have passed up on. But how do you turn that trade down?
You don't.
I mean, they gave up they gave up a boatload to move up 3 spots.
All right. Daryl's going to join us here in the next segment. I'm going to take one phone call, and then if I have time, I just want to get something off my chest about the coverage last night. Jay is in Charlotte. Hi, Jay.
Hey, guys. How you guys doing?
Jay. Good. Like it, love it. Let's see. Like okay. it, hate it. Sorry. Let's see.
Okay, no, I'm going to like it because to me it's all about longevity. Because you look back when we drafted Joe Thomas, everybody was looking for us to draft Adrian Peterson. Look what happened.
Sure.
So I look at it like that, longevity. Okay, one other thing, then I'll let you guys go.
Sure.
Okay, we got 2 second-round picks. I think with the first pick, we should get a cornerback, get that guy, what's his name?
Will Johnson from Michigan?
Yeah, because I got to look at – we got to look at Ward with all these concussions. We got to look into the future. And then with the second pack in the second round, we should get a running back. And as far as a quarterback, we get one in the third round, get Will Howard and maybe the best offensive lineman, like a tackle something. And I'll hang up and listen.
Jay, thank you. Just remind you, I think this is right. The picks the Browns now have will be 33, 36, 67, 94, 126, 166, and 192.
Yeah, they got rid of the sixth and the seventh in the trade with Houston, which is good. You move up and you know, that fifth-round pick that they got from Houston could be where they pick their quarterback. Or they could stun us all and take one at 33 or 36. That 36th pick, you're going to get a really good player there with that pick you just got from Jacksonville.
Yeah,
and I bet it's a running back.
I have 30 seconds because I really don't want to spend more time than 30 seconds on this. I watched NFL Network last night. And we'll get into this a little bit later. I'm curious who you watched. But I watched Charles Davis. I watched Daniel Jeremiah and Joel Klatt. I thought those three guys, Charles Davis especially, I really like him. They did an outstanding job.
Charles has been on the show before numerous times.
I'm sorry, man. I thought Eisen was kind of a clown last night because I just don't care about Ohio State, Michigan when I'm watching the NFL. And, you know, the line about... And I'm not trying to be too sensitive, but the line about, oh, well, the Browns drafted somebody that can get wins in Ohio. I was like, why don't you go do a college show? Go do a college show. I normally like him, but he was so bad last night that I wanted to change the channel.
Got a great hairline.
I'll leave it at that. Darryl Ryder next, Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.